So if you want to open your Bibles to Galatians, and you can see on the screen there, we're going to Galatians chapter number 2. We're going to start today actually at verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and number 16. Let me make some just a quick adjustments here, and then we'll get going. Okay, Galatians chapter number 2, if you will start with me at verse 16. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul says this, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Well, as we take just a moment to review where we are at in our study of Galatians, you will recall that the Apostle Paul really is speaking this to Peter when Peter came to Antioch and in his conduct was denying the truth of the gospel of God's grace. You can see back at verse 11. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I was stood into the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were withdrew, and separate himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Peter, in his conduct, by separating from the Gentiles, was saying that the middle wall of partition was still up and that the law was still in effect. Hence, the Apostle Paul, in confronting Peter publicly to his face, reminds Peter about the fact that Peter understood very clearly that there's no way that a man is justified by the law, but rather by the faith of Jesus Christ. And so as we move on here in Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 to the end of the chapter, the emphasis at this point is that the faith of Christ, and we'll talk about that extensively today, but the emphasis is that the faith of Christ is completely and totally sufficient to provide for our justification and for our sanctification. And so if you go back with me to verse 16, he says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." What we want to do today, at least for a good portion of our study, we want to spend a few minutes here talking about this issue of the faith of Christ. Now, we preached a couple of messages a few Sundays back in some detail about the doctrine of the faith of Christ. I think we had a four-week series on the doctrine of the faith of Christ, and we're obviously not going to reteach all that nearly. But we do want to go over some highlights about the importance of this doctrine called the faith of Christ. If you'll notice with me again at verse 16, he says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, let me point out first that the new translations, they change that verse. See where that phrase says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, that little word O-F there, the word of. The new translations change that to faith in Jesus Christ. The doctrine of the faith of Christ has been almost completely obliterated out of all the modern translations. And it's by changing one simple word, the word of, O-F, to the word in, I-N. And so when you're reading these passages that clearly state the phrase, the faith of Jesus Christ, and if you're reading them in the new translations, you will find that it doesn't say the faith of Jesus Christ. It says the faith in Jesus Christ, or that kind of a phrase. Let me have you notice the other places. If you look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, now notice the very next word there, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the next place where the new translations change and affect the doctrine of the faith of Christ. They change it from the faith of the Son of God to faith in Christ. And, friends, that obliterates, that obscures the doctrine called the doctrine of the faith of Jesus Christ. Go with me, if you would, over to the book of Romans and chapter number 3. Go to Romans and chapter number 3 here. Look over to Romans in chapter number 3 and start with me at verse 21. And you'll see it again here. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 says this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Now there again, your King James Bible says the faith of Jesus Christ. The new translations change that to faith in Jesus Christ instead of faith of Jesus Christ. And then look at one, turn with the book of Philippians, number here. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter verse 9. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, and he says this, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. You see that phrase there? The righteousness which is of God by faith. All of those places, the new translations change the doctrine of the faith of Christ, and they change the word of to the word in. They make it faith in Christ. Let me take a moment to explain the difference, and then what difference it makes. If we say faith in Christ, well, you're talking about placing your trust in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you say you're going to place your faith in Christ, you're saying you're trusting Him, you're resting in Him, you're relying on what Christ did for you. But when you say the doctrine of the faith of Christ, you're not talking about your faith in Him. Rather, you're talking about something that He did. When you see the phrase, the faith of Jesus Christ, that's talking about His integrity, His fidelity, His trustworthiness. But even beyond that, it's talking about Him trusting the Father. The doctrine of the faith of Christ looks to and is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ having confidence and trust in the Word of God, in Scripture. When He walked this earth, as recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He trusted the Word of God. He rested in Scripture. He read the Word of God. He studied the Word of God. He relied upon the Word of God. The Word of God was his stay. If you'll look with me as an example over to Matthew chapter number 4 here. Go with me to Matthew chapter number 4. Verse 1 it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Lord Jesus Christ lived, as he says here, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what he was sustained on. He spent time in the Word of God. He studied the Word of God. He rested in the Word of God. He trusted the Word of God. The Word of God. See, why would he say to the devil about man not living by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? Why would he say that about man if it was not true about himself as the Son of Man? You see what's going on there? He himself stood in Adam's place, stood in Israel's place, to be tempted of the devil. And the devil was unsuccessful. How come? Because Christ, he trusted God's Word. He rested in God's Word. If you'll look over to John chapter 5, turn over to John and chapter number 5 here, just as another example. Look over to John chapter number 5. John chapter 5, verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." You see how he says the Son can do nothing of himself? He is indicating his total, complete dependence on the Word of God, on Scripture. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God" here. He is demonstrating very clearly that what he did when he walked on this earth as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, as the seed of Abraham, he walked by faith in the written Word of God. Look a little bit further in that chapter, John chapter number 5. John chapter 5, verse 30. He says, "I can of mine own self do nothing." Total complete dependence upon the Father. See that? "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just," and so on. The Lord Jesus Christ made it very clear that he was not down here on earth operating independently of the Father and the Word of God. Rather, he is operating in total, complete dependence on the written Word of God. Let me have you look at a couple of examples in the Old Testament. Go to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Look at Isaiah chapter number 50. And look at verse 4. You can, in fact, if you look at verse 6, you know it's talking about the Lord here in the context. Verse 6 says, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." See that? That's obviously the Lord there. Well, go back to verse 4 now, Isaiah 50. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I," that's going to be the leader, "that I should know how to speak a word in season for him that is weary. He winneth morning by morning, he waketh in mine ear to hear as the learned." The Lord Jesus Christ, a person Bible study the Father each and every morning. He says here, "He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth ear to hear as learned." The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. The Lord kept his heart, his ears open to the Word of God. He studied the Word of God. It says at verse 4, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. Well, how did the Father give the Son the tongue of the learned? Well, the Son learned the Scripture and said what the Scripture said. And it says here that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That's that little flock, a little remnant, those people that trusted God's Word. What I'm driving at here, in fact, turn with me to Psalms chapter number 1 now, is that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, he didn't function independent of the Word of God. He functioned in total, complete dependence on the Word of God, on the written Word of God, on Scripture. He read Scripture, he memorized Scripture, he knew that man should not live by it alone, but by every word that was out of the mouth of God, man live. Look at how chapter number 1 says it. Psalms number 1. Chapter number 1, verse 1. The psalmist starts the entire book of Psalms. He starts by telling us about a man who's blessed. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinner, nor sitteth in the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. When you open the book of Psalms, the writer of Psalms introduces this man to Israel. And he thought, the man, and he's not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not standing as a sinner. He's not sitting to be scornful. There's a man coming. His delight is going to be in the Lord. His delight is going to be to meditate in God's Word day and night. So the book of Psalms opens up on Israel. He's looking for that man. Well, guess what? Come to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you found that man. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the book of Psalms is written in the book of divisions. When you read the typical interpretations in chapter 1 here is, oh, this is what I should, we should, let's not, you know, let's not walk the counsel of the ungodly, and let's not stand in the way of sin, let's not sit in the seat of scorn, instead of the light and law of God. Well, that may all be true, but that's the point of verses. These verses are written for the purpose, for the express purpose of telling the believing remnant out of Israel that there's a man coming who's going to be your Redeemer, your Savior, your King, your Lord, your Blesser. His delight is going to be in the law of the Lord. His delight is going to meditate there and night. His delight is going to be to do God's will. Once you find him, hang on to that man, trust him, because he's your Messiah. Well, I just passage to demonstrate that is what the Lord did. He didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't in the way of the sinners. He didn't sit and see the ends of the scornful. Instead, his delight in the Word of God and meditated in it day and night. We're talking about the doctrine of the faith of Christ here. The Lord Jesus Christ lived his life in total, complete dependence on the Word of God. He had faith in God, helped by trust God's Word. Demonstrated total dependence of God the Father. How? By depending on the Word of God. So we're talking the doctrine of the faith. We are first and foremost talking about him trusting Word of God. As he moved forward in life, of course, the cross came closer and closer and closer. He had to trust that if he would go to the cross and die in sins, he had to trust that the justice of God would be satisfied with shed blood as the payment for man's sins, to do the job the Father would have done, and he had trust that God, the Father, would raise him from the dead. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had never experienced this before. He never experienced that fellowship in him the Father before. And he sees it written about in God's Word, and he's reading about it, and for example, he's reading Psalms 22, my God, myself forsaken. He knows he's going to plainly have to go and fulfill Psalms 22. He knows he's the one that's going to forsaken the Father. He's the one that's going to have the transformation in his soul that is learned into a person in the lake of fire, described as a worm, but I am a worm as no man. He's the one that has to experience the mocking of the bulls of Bashan, that is, the scribes and Pharisees. He's the one that has to have the beard plucked off and his face smitten and beaten and pierced his hands and side with those nails. He's the one that's going to have to experience death for every man. And he never experienced it before. He sees and reads about it in the Word of God. He knows it's coming. And when he's in the garden there, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He has got to trust the Word of God all the way through the cross. He's going to taste of death, and he's got to trust that the Father, that the justice of God would be satisfied. His shed blood, his shed would indeed be for the sins of all humanity all time, and therefore that God the Father would raise him from the dead. That's the purpose of the doctrine of the faith of Christ. He trusted the written of God. He trusted what Scripture said. He goes all the way to the cross, tasting death for every man, and dies indeed, dies with the trust and confidence that 3 days later God would raise him from the dead. That death would not be able to hold him. That the grave would not be able to keep his body. That he would come up in resurrection glory. And he trusted that the Father would do that. And of course the Father did that. So when we talk about the doctrine of the faith of Christ, friends, it's not me trusting in Christ or me trusting in God's Word. That's why it's so completely wrong to change that verse, those verses that talk about the doctrine of the faith of Christ, and make it my faith in Christ. Now, with all that said, and again, that was just kind of a real brief overview of what we took about 4 weeks to do at church, 3 or 4 weeks to do at church. Go back with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 2 now. I think those messages are available, by the way, if you want to get the full detail about that. Go to Galatians chapter number 2. Look at Galatians in chapter number 2 here. Back to Galatians 2:16. So he says here at Galatians 2:16, he says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. See, Paul is reminding Peter in the audience of these Gentiles and Jews at Antioch, and obviously reminding you and me now, that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Justification is not on the basis of what I do. It's not on the basis of my performance. Rather, it is on the basis of the fact that Jesus Christ trusted the Father. He says here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Justification is available because of the faith of Jesus Christ. The reason that you and I can be justified in the first place anyway is not because we're trusting Him, but because He trusted God's Word, went to the cross of Calvary, shed His blood for my sins and your sins, hence satisfying the justice of God, and hence God raised Him from the dead. And in His work upon Calvary, that's what made it possible for God to justify anyone for that matter. So when he says at verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, the emphasis of that verse is not simply the fact that we don't keep the law, we can't keep the law, we never have kept the law, but the emphasis in that verse really is on the faith of Jesus Christ. It's what He has done. What He has accomplished. I've said this a few times now over the last several weeks, that the perfect life has already been lived. The perfect trust in the Word of God has already been accomplished. And that was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ on your behalf, on my behalf. That's why trusting in Him, you actually get justified. It's because He is your stay. He is your mediator. He is the one that trusted the Father. He is the one that walked by faith. He is the one that did the will of God. He is the perfect sacrifice. He has the perfect resurrection. He accomplished and experienced the perfect death. He is your life. He's all you need. He's everything that you need. That's why when Paul says here, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ, do you see the great difference there? Comparing the works of the law with the faith of Jesus Christ. Those two, put those two on the table there. You've got the works of the law, your works, your performance, as compared to the faith of Jesus Christ. His work, His performance, His trusting the Father. He trusted the Father all the way through. Never one time did He doubt Scripture. Never one time did He decide to go independent of the Word of God. He trusted it all the way through. Friends, the perfect life, the perfect trust in the will and the Word of the Father has already been accomplished on your behalf by Jesus Christ. Oh, imagine then trying to keep the works of the law in order to be justified. Do you understand not only how futile that is, but what a slap in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ that is to suggest that our works even remotely could be compared in the same, you know, same situation with the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says at verse 16 again, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So since we know that that's true now, well then here's what we did. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Now there's our confidence in Christ. There's our trusting in what He did on our behalf. So, in other words, since justification is not on the basis of me being good enough, me trusting, me relying, me working, me trying to keep the law. Rather, it is on the basis of Jesus Christ working, His confidence, His relying, His resting in the Word of God. Since that's the case, therefore, that's why believing in Jesus Christ, trusting Him, results in your justification. Notice how he says it here again at this verse. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. There's my faith in Him now. Why? That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Again, I know this is perhaps repetitive. I know some of you maybe have heard this before, but you know what? You cannot read that verse too fast. You cannot think through that verse too long. There is just too much emphasis in that verse, too much detail in that verse, too much profound information about the faith of Christ, what He did. It's all on the basis of what Christ has already done for you and for me, for humanity. Because He trusted the Father, that's why justification is available. And hence, when a sinner trusts in Christ, believing what He did for them on the cross of Calvary, that's why that instant, that person does get justified by the faith of Christ, by what He did, and not by the works of the law. Now, there certainly is the aspect of the faith of Christ, the second aspect of the faith of Christ, of His trustworthiness. Not just the fact that He trusted the Father, but the fact that when you do trust Him, He is trustworthy. He is faithful to save you. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, do you understand? It is now His integrity that is on the line for your security. It's not your integrity that's on the line for your eternal justification, for your security. Your integrity has never been the issue. You have no integrity. Scripture says we've all sinned. Our integrity, our confidence in the Father, our holding on to Christ has never been the issue of our justification. It has always been the integrity, the faithfulness, the trustworthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. One man said it this way. I believe it was Pastor Spolster years and years ago. He said it this way. He said, it's not a matter of you holding on to Christ. It's a matter of Him holding on to you. And isn't that true? You see, if my security, if my eternal security was dependent upon my holding on to Jesus Christ, well, then my security would be in jeopardy every day, and so would yours. Rather, our security is dependent upon the fidelity of Christ, the trustworthiness of Christ, on His ability to keep us, His ability to secure us, His ability to represent us, His ability to be the mediator between God and men. So it says at verse 16 again, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Now look at the last phrase there. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's a pretty direct statement, wouldn't you agree? For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Not one single person will be justified by the works of the law. The only man who ever kept the law perfectly was the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, again, why justification is available through Him alone. Look with me to Romans in chapter number 3 here. Go to Romans in chapter number 3 now. Look over to Romans in chapter number 3. Start with me at verse 19. Romans 3 verse 19 says this, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You can see in that verse that the purpose of the law is twofold. To stop every mouth, and in doing so, bringing in all the world, both Jew and Gentile, guilty before God. The law was never given to save anyone. The law was never given to justify anyone. The law was given to demonstrate that sinners, sons of Adam, don't keep the law, and hence they need a perfect Savior. The law was also given so that when that perfect Savior came, He could be tested by the law, as well as other issues, but by the law to see whether or not He could satisfy its just demands. And He did. The Lord Jesus Christ did. As far as humanity is concerned, me, you, the people we know, all the law shuts every mouth. It says at verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, I'm at verse 20 now, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The purpose of the law in that verse is to show sin. It's to give the knowledge of sin. It's to manifest to lawbreakers that they are lawbreakers. It's to demonstrate to lawbreakers that the law is not going to help them if they're a lawbreaker. The law has got to stand there to condemn them. And hence, they need a Savior. Something and someone outside and above the law. You can see he goes on to say at verse 28 of Romans 3, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Go to chapter 5 of Romans. Go to chapter 5 of the book of Romans. Chapter 5 of the book of Romans. And notice what it says over here. Verse 20. He says, moreover, the law entered, why? That the offense might abound. Oh, people, forget that verse. The law entered, why? To stop sin? No, to show sin and make it abound. Anyone who thinks that you need to put the believer under the law today in order to get the believer to stop sinning, they absolutely do not understand the purpose or nature of the law. The law doesn't cause people to stop sin. The law shows sin. You've heard it described this way before. Your mirror in your bathroom. When you get up in the morning and your hair's all messed up and you got lines all over your face and you need to shave and everything, and you know, that mirror had nothing to do with how bad you look in the morning and how scary you look in the morning. You understand? That mirror had not one thing to do with it. It just shows why you need to comb your hair. It shows that you need to comb your hair. It shows that you need to shave. It shows that you need to take a shower. The mirror doesn't give you the shower. It doesn't comb your hair. And by the same token, it doesn't mess up your hair. It's simply a reflector of what's there. Well, that's kind of like the law. The law doesn't make us sin. It shows sin. And in showing sin, mankind tries to hide his sin, and the mirror just shows more sin is there. That mirror didn't make our face dirty. It didn't make the hairs on our face grow, and hence we need to shave. It just shows us that it's there. The law gives the knowledge of sin. If you go with me to Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter number 4, look at verse 15. Romans chapter 4, verse 15, it says this, because the law worketh what? The law worketh wrath, friends. The law worketh wrath. Why? Because when you break the law, you're guilty as a lawbreaker and now are accountable to the just consequences that the law demands. The law works wrath. Go with me, if you would, over to Galatians. And I know we're getting ahead of ourselves in Galatians here, but go over to Galatians in chapter number 3. Now, there's something else about the law. The law shows our sin. And in showing our sin, it stops every mouth. And in stopping every mouth, it shows every man to be guilty before God. And it works wrath in that the law demands that the just punishment of the broken law be executed upon the lawbreaker. But there's something else that the law does. Look at Galatians chapter number 3 now. Galatians chapter number 3, start with me at verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. And then here it is, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The law was a schoolmaster. It was a schoolmaster to bring Israel unto Christ. How did it do that? How was it supposed to do that? By showing Israel their sin, it showed them that they needed a perfect solution for their sin. And hence, when Christ showed up, He was the solution. He was the answer. And hence, the law was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. Now, there's something else that the law cannot do. Look with me at the same chapter, chapter 3, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21 of Galatians, he says this. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. Now, here it is. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. You see, the law cannot give life. The law cannot take life and give it on the basis of grace. It cannot give life to a lawbreaker. The law demands perfection. If you have perfection, then you get the blessing that the law offers. But if you don't have perfection, then you get the curses, the condemnation, the punishment, the wrath that the law demands. The law cannot give life. It can't give life to a lost person. It certainly can't give life to a justified person. Go back to Galatians chapter 2. Notice something else here. Look at verse 19. Go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19 now. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19, and he says this, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that." That little "that" there is extremely important. He says, "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God." What had to happen in your relationship to the law in order that you'd even have the possibility of living unto God? You know what had to happen? You had to become dead to the law. That's how. Friends, it is impossible to live unto God while at the same time living under the law. It's impossible. You have to become dead to the law that you might live unto God. Well, as we kind of summarize what we've accomplished today so far, look back at verse 16. Paul is telling Peter here, and it's vitally important for us to remember, our justification, a man's justification, is not on the basis of us keeping the law. Rather, it is on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ trusting the will and the word of the Father, trusting that when he experienced death on the cross, that God would raise him from the dead, and he trusted him, and the Father did do that. And hence, because the Lord Jesus Christ trusted the Father, that's the doctrine of the faith of Christ, therefore anyone can believe in Jesus Christ, and they will be justified by the faith of Christ because Christ is trustworthy to save anyone that believes Him. He is trust. You can trust Him to save you. And you certainly can't be justified by the works of the law. The law is given to show sin, manifest sin, make sin abound. And in so doing, stop every mouth. And in so doing, declare all the world guilty before God. And in so doing, manifest to that sinner that they need a different solution. They need a solution for death. They need a solution for the just condemnation of their sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. They need an answer for the wrath that the law demands. And the answer is somebody else who already experienced what the law demands. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is the one to trust. He is the one to have confidence in. And if you'll simply trust His finished work, it's not our trusting in Him. It's not your trusting in Him as to where the value is or the merit or the worthiness is. The value, the merit, the worthiness is in faith of Christ. What He has done, because He was there, because the merit is there, because the work was accomplished by Him, because the perfect life has already been lived by Him, therefore you can trust Him and He will save you. He will keep you.